Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by the Funny Womax and Friends. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, musicians, and comedians that perform here and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what makes our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Don Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. We come to you today from the Harrisonburg Dance Cooperative Studio. Isn't it beautiful? It is a beautiful studio right here in the heart of downtown Harrisonburg. We have the pleasure of speaking with Laura Mack, the president of the Artist Council for the Harrisonburg Dance Cooperative, HDC. With a deep passion for dance and a commitment to fostering a vibrant dance community, Laura has been instrumental in the growth and success of HDC. This nonprofit organization offers a variety of dance classes tailored to both novice and experienced dancers, creating a welcoming space for adults in Harrisonburg and Rockingham County. Under Laura's leadership, HDC continues to empower dancers, provide performance opportunities, and build connections with the local arts community. We're excited to learn more about the cooperative's mission, upcoming events, and how they are inspiring people to move and create through the art of dance. Welcome to the show, Laura. It's great to have you on today.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm excited to be here, too. We had fun setting up. This studio really, truly is beautiful. I love what you've done with the place.
Thank you.
Yes, it's really transformed into an amazing space. So I can't wait to get into your story and share it with our laughers.
Yes, indeed.
My first question for you is, can you tell us a little bit about the history of founding HDC and what inspired you and Ellie? It's DeWall, is that
yes.
How I say it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, DeWall, to start this organization.
Yeah, so we had humble beginnings, as most groups and organizations do. I was working at the Little Grill, worker-owned cooperative at the time, and I had also gone to JMU and was a dance minor, and into the woman who had been a pianist for the ballet classes. I was serving her at her table, and we hugged, and she said, "Laura, so great to see you." She's like, "Let me introduce you to my dancer." And it was her daughter, who was Ellie. And we quickly connected and were like, "I'm a grown-up who still dances. You're a grown-up who dances. Let's see what we can make happen." And as it turns out, Ellie and other dancers had tried to start a Harrisonburg dance cooperative previously.
Mm-hmm.
And Ellie's in my skill sets coming into it, and I think us just starting something in Harrisonburg at just the right time, where this city is growing a lot, there's new people coming in, and also the art scene was growing, and so that happened nearly 10 years ago. We're going to be celebrating our 10-year birthday this January.
Yeah, because you were doing that before this space.
Yes.
And where were you dancing then?
Everywhere, anywhere we could.
Okay.
We spent a lot of time in the Ice House, the center, and Pilates studio, because Ellie also does Pilates instruction, and so she was working there at the time, and they were really wonderful in connecting with us. For a while, we were able to work in the Dance and Company space, which is a local dance studio for kids in town. That's also, you know, just down the road. We even had danced in some churches and had rehearsals in some churches.
Okay.
It is hard to find free or cheap, you know, third spaces that meet all of our needs. My favorite, because at the time I was living close to Singers Glen, is we used the community building in Singers Glen, the big gym. You know, it used to be a school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so fun, and it was only like a 5-minute commute for me, so I loved it. But it was also very cold in the winter and very hot in the summer. But as a person who lives rurally, I always love to see what can be done with rural spaces, because we're so used to traveling a big distance to access so many resources or entertainment. So it was pretty neat for a brief time when we were able to rehearse out in the county.
Hey, laughers, Tisha here. You know what goes great with this podcast? Free Popsters Gourmet Popcorn. We're so excited to sponsor this podcast, highlighting some of the most wonderful people in the Shenandoah Valley. To show our love for you laughers, we're giving you 15% off today at prepopsters.com. That's P-R-E-P-O-P-S-T-E-R-O-U-S.com. use promo code LAUGH15.
Yeah, it must feel great now to just have a place.
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, it's been a part of the dream this whole time. And so it was a big step to get this location. I think we dreamed of having a space downtown, but never imagined that would be
possible.
Yes. So that feels huge. And we've been here for just over a year. And it's been, I mean, it's so different when you get to create what you want. You're not always having to ask other, you know, businesses or people their schedule to see if you can squeeze in. Mm-hmm. The priority first is our dance needs. Mm-hmm. And that's so lovely. And just this summer, we got to install sprung floors, which for dancers is huge for safe dancing. Because it has a little bit more give. And so we really feel like we got to create the space that we've always wanted.
That's really great. I can't wait to get into all the different kinds of classes. But first, yeah, a little bit more about what do your daily responsibilities look like, the key ones that make
for running
this.
Oh, heavens. Well.
How much time do I have, right?
yeah, exactly. Well, we're a pretty unique organization. We're not unique in that we're a nonprofit. I think a lot of dance performance art groups are and need to be. Mm-hmm. But we are still nearly 10 years in, all volunteer run. So we all do this on top of all the other daily responsibilities and things going on in our lives. And so we are also a non-hierarchical organization. Everyone who's a member of the Artist Council, we're essentially the board. Mm-hmm. We all have a vote and we vote equally. It doesn't matter your experience level, how long you've been a part of the organization. If once you're on the Artist Council, your vote has as much count as anybody else's. But yeah, the day-to-day, it varies for each of us because we all share different responsibilities. Mm-hmm. I am the president, but also the resident email checker. so a lot of times my life is checking our inbox, seeing who's reaching out to potentially rent the space or has questions about dance classes. We still get a lot of questions about, you know, do I have to find ballet slippers? What can I wear to class? Things like that. And, you know, we've been in the same position of other dance groups and dance community is like everyone is always looking for a space that will meet the needs for whatever performance art they're trying to do. Because we always need more art in the community. So we do get a lot of people and organizations reaching out, seeing if they can use the space. That's what I do every single day for the dance cooperative, but also our group, we have a very active, text thread, checking in with each other, seeing, assessing needs, getting answers from each other. We meet twice a month, often virtual, just to, meet people's needs as best they can with other things going on in their lives. And we make all the big decisions together, the big and often the little.
How big is the council? I believe it's 5 members.
Yes.
Okay.
Ellie, me, Holly, Sandra, and Chloe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
That's really great.
And we're all dancers or performance artists. Like that's who we are first. And then we come and we learn how to run an organization together.
I don't know much about the performing arts circuit for dancers. I do certainly for comedians and how that works, but...
Yeah.
How does that work for dance artists that are performing artists?
Yeah. Here it's certainly a challenge. And for any performance, as you know, it's when you are performing, you are investing all of yourself and most of your time. But some, you know, Ellie shares time between Harrisonburg and New York City.
Okay.
Yep. And so she is doing that there. She is going to auditions. She is taking part in shows. In some ways, I feel like I get to vicariously live through her because I didn't make those choices to pursue that level of career.
Yeah.
But I will say that being a performance artist in a, you know, relatively small city in a very rural part of Virginia, I never thought that I would be able to say that I could be one. Especially someone in their mid to late 30s who's still performing new and original works of choreography. People aren't used to that formula. So there's a lot of challenges and joys and also just a lot of labor and work that goes into not only having a dance organization, but now having our own dance space and keeping the doors open. But at the end of the day, I feel unbelievably lucky that all of us as dancers and performance artists can say, I am a dancer who gets to perform and do new works of art in a city and community of this size. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievably awesome.
Yeah. And this original choreography, these are moves.
No one's ever done before. Yes.
And that you come up with by yourself. Yep. And the other dancers do that also that are on the artist council.
Yeah. And don't even have to be on the artist council.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we'll get into that, but I'm sure there are ticketed events and things to come see you all. Let's talk about the different types of classes that you offer. There's the absolute beginner ballet to hip hop. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the variety of classes that you offer. I'm sure there's going to be some laughers that'll be very interested.
Oh, hooray.
In checking it out.
Yes.
So let's talk about it.
Yeah. Well, we started off offering classes really just to allow those of us who wanted to perform to, you know, be in shape and be technically proficient. And most all of us at the start of the dance cooperative had experience with ballet and or modern. Mm-hmm. So those are the classes that we originally offered and we've offered ever since our beginning. Since then, we've been very fortunate just to be able to add more and more. So we offer, but they're all like dance technique classes. Mm-hmm. So we have ballet, we have modern, we have jazz. We've offered improvisation. This Sunday, we have a pop-up for contact improvisation. So that's learning how to improvise, but in relationship to other people.
I'm glad you explained that.
You're welcome. I'm still learning about that too, honestly.
Okay.
Yeah, and hip hop has been a really popular one. We just started offering Irish step classes.
I saw that. I took tap dance.
Yeah.
So when really, I was a kid, and that looked interesting to me.
I took tap, I think, for a year or two. And I don't know why I didn't keep it up because I loved it so much. There's just something pretty brilliant about being able to dance and move while creating music.
I know, I loved it.
At the same time. Yeah.
Yeah, that was my favorite class.
Yeah. Don't blame you. It's pretty great. It's really, really fun. Yeah, I haven't made it to one of our Irish step classes, but it's been really well received. We started off with just a pop-up and there are so many people signed up that we were like, okay, teacher wants to keep going. Let's just keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I want to ask about that too, since I have some experience tap dancing. That's the one class I kept going through, even through high school.
Oh, wow. Nice. Tap dance. Awesome.
So I'm looking at your floor. Do you pull out some other surface floor?
Nope.
No.
Yeah. Okay. They do it on this floor.
Mm-hmm. All right. Special shoes?
Well, no, because as of right now, we say dancers can come in whatever shoes they have. Because, you know, like so many things that people want to learn and techniques that they want to learn, it can be a real investment up front in the supplies to do mm-hmm. so. So we say just like come as you are. And if you want to choose to make that investment because you're really excited and want to keep coming to classes, you can do that whenever you choose. But we're happy for you to just come and explore.
I like that too. I want to know more about the philosophy you have behind the scenes for your offerings and how you choose which classes you're going to provide.
Yeah, it is the mix of like having a philosophy and a dream and a commitment to that dream and just finding the teachers who are available.
Right.
So it's both dreamy and very logistical. But I would say that no matter what technique class we offer, which is what we're dedicated to right now, mm-hmm. We have had interest from people in like community dance, whether that be contra or salsa, mm-hmm. Largely just because of the type of flooring we have. We've held off from that for the time being just because we've needed to preserve the Marley floor, which was a big investment. But for us, we have also all different types of levels of classes. Mm-hmm. You know, and we have open levels where we have really brilliant teachers who can navigate like, oh wow, I have someone who is coming in who hasn't danced in 20 years, and then I have someone who's in this room who also goes to JMU and is a dance major, and they are able to really modify and work with people wherever they're at.
Got it. Yeah.
But our philosophy, as I mentioned, is come as you are, and every body can be a dancing body. And I feel like that's pretty unique because I think people are pretty well aware that in dance, that is a technique that's taught. We have learned that there are very high expectations of what that body ought to look like, how that body ought to be able to move. And we largely disagree with that. We feel like everybody has the capacity to make art. And in fact, everybody can and does on the daily. And if you want to explore a technique and push yourself to learn this one style, there are ways to do it that can, that anybody can do. And there are ways to do it that can also still be safe for your body. Cause a lot of it is like, you know, dancers are also athletes, and we have an expectation to push our body to the limits. And we think that there's ways that you can do that, that actually preserve your mind and body.
A little bit of a holistic approach.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And really, I feel like the way that I've found that we can do that is just the atmosphere and the welcoming atmosphere that we create. It's not actually about like the type of combinations you teach in the class. It's more about us welcoming people in and saying, come in whatever way makes you feel comfortable. It's about teachers asking, can I touch your body to give you a correction before just assuming to do so? It's really how we teach classes and the way we set up the space more so than the actual technique that's taught.
I like that there's a focus on connecting with people.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, meeting them where they're at.
Yeah.
Some people don't like to be touched. So certainly asking before you do is very important. Yeah.
And it's so necessary because I feel I can only speak from the experience of having been a dancer, very dedicated to the art, you know, up through high school into college. And then I started dancing with a dance cooperative. It had been 6 years since I danced and performed. And as an experienced dancer, trying to come back to it and trying to find a relationship to dance and my body again, oh man, you have a lot of assumptions about how you're supposed to look, how you're supposed to move. And it's a mental game more so than anything about reconnecting and allowing yourself to come back into a space, to come back into your relationship with yourself, to say, I'm going to try this again. You have to change your expectations of yourself too. It's different being a dancer in your 20s or in your teens than being a dancer in your 30s.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Or 40s or 50s. Yeah, right? You're like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that Irish step might look a little different.
Yeah, might look a little different, might feel a little different.
Than it would have when I was 18.
Yes, it undoubtedly. But also for people who have never danced before, I think we have been told, oh, only these type of people are dancers. Only these types of people can do that type of dance. And it's not true, but it's... we recognize that a lot of people are coming into this space with that assumption, and they've made the first step to give it a try. And so we have to create the space to say, oh, it's actually really fun to stay.
Oh, love that so much.
Yeah.
The ages that take the classes, if I read right, you really don't work with kids at the moment.
Right.
It's all 18 and above.
Yes. Pretty much any town across the country, I feel like you can find a studio that's for kids to dance. It's very rare to find a studio for adults. So that's where our focus is. We have had dancers as young as 18 take classes, and we have dancers in their 50s and 60s who come and take and teach and perform.
Teach and perform.
Yes. How cool
Laffers
is that?
Is very cool. I had to take a moment to just wrap my head around that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yep.
And there's nothing like that here in our town that I know of. I don't think you have any current competition doing this at the moment.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting. How does HDC support and empower the experienced dancers in the Harrisonburg community?
Yeah, well, certainly by having the different levels of classes, we still want to be able to give rigorous classes to those that want and are able. And then, of course, we have performance opportunities, which I think is probably the most significant one that we can offer to experienced dancers. We used to perform a bunch, and then we started to perform sort of less and less. And then, of course, the pandemic happened, and we almost didn't survive that. It shut down a lot of performance arts communities.
Oh, yeah. The comedians we had, it was an effect on us as well.
Yes. I mean, who didn't
all
affect,
live arts.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes. In every way.
Yeah.
And we've slowly been able to start picking up performance opportunities again, which feels really great. As of right now, we have a performance in the fall and a performance in the spring. And anyone can sign up as interested to dance, and we do our best to connect potential dancers and choreographers. Choreographers come in, give us an idea of the piece that they might want to perform, how many dancers they hope to have, and we see how many dancers we get, and we connect them, and they proceed. And so we literally just started that process a couple weeks ago, and rehearsals are starting, have started this month to prepare for our November show.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Now, for the public, I'm assuming this is open to them. This is a ticketed event?
Correct.
Okay, so give us an idea for someone who might just want to come see the performance and check it out. What is the length? What is the cost?
Yeah,
cost. Roughly time of day, that type of thing. Yeah.
So let's see. We are performing in mid-November. I don't remember the exact dates right now.
That's all right. We're going to give you a website. They can find
it. Great. And, you know, in the past, sometimes we put on a show and we only get to perform once. Mm-hmm. And man, that's tough because if you love performing, you just want to do it lots and lots of times. So
that's correct.
Another beauty of having our own space is we put on our own shows here. We've used other theaters, but we can fit roughly 35 people in the space, and we have enough chairs. And also the space is big enough where we can have a decent size stage and then create like a little boundary, and then the chairs are over there. And we get to host more shows, which is really great. So we're going to have two evening shows on Friday, two evening shows, I think, on Saturday, and a matinee on Sunday, or some combination
of
that.
Okay, so it's you can choose a time over the weekend to catch the...
Yep.
Will it be the same lineup for each of the shows?
It will. Okay. It will. And the length of the show varies, because once again, it sort of depends. We like to try to do a full-length show, which is, you know, roughly 2 hours. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we're doing shorter pieces. But one thing that we're excited about for this November show is we're actually going to partner with some local musicians, and there's going to not only some live music for some of the dancing, but there's also sort of going to be a music interlude.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. What type of musicians are they going to be? It's classical music, or
I'm trying to remember.
Maybe there'd be some hip hop.
Yeah. Oh man. I don't know if we get to have a hip hop performance this show. I hope we get to that point where we get enough dancers that are doing hip hop to do that, because that would be amazing.
I saw some video on your website of some hip hop, and that looked really amazing.
Yeah, Laudis, the instructor, is really phenomenal. I think it's classical.
Okay,
it's going to be the music, but
again,
I'm not certain.
The details will be on the website.
All the details will be on the website, as they always are. Thank goodness for that.
Could you share some examples of how the cooperative has impacted the local dancers here?
Yeah, I mean, really, if you are not a university student, and if you weren't a kid, there wasn't a dance community here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say that we are the first. We get to experience the joys and the challenges of being the first, and hopefully only grow from here. But yeah, we are the first home for adult dancers. And it feels also significant to have a brick and mortar space. There's something that feels more real, a greater connection point once we have our own space. So that's been great, you know, because before, when we were hosting classes, you know, people had to know where to find us, had to know how to find us. And now, not just a Google search, you can just walk on by and see our sign and come on in.
Yeah, you're really nicely located on Court Square.
It's pretty amazing.
You get a lot of walking traffic, probably never heard of you before.
Yeah, it helped a lot when we finally got our sign put up. I will tell you that.
It looks great, too. I like what you did there.
Yeah, just a quick shout out to Jimmy of Age Old Sign Co. He is an amazing artist and does mural painting, hand-painted lettering. And he painted it for us, and he was a dream to work with. Is so humble and so kind and so skilled.
Yeah, looks really great. I like it a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You know, the community involvement seems to be a big part of your mission here. Yeah. How do you all engage with the broader Harrisonburg-Rockingham area?
Yeah, well, of course, one simple way is just by putting on performances. It is and we, I didn't get to say this, but we keep ticket prices pretty low to make it accessible. And actually, one of our instructors is also the Harrisonburg High School's dance program director.
Oh, really?
And we try to make it really easy for her dance students in the high school to come and see our shows. And so we invited them, this most recent performance we did back in May, to come and just watch our dress rehearsal. And anyone who wanted to come could come. Yeah. But otherwise, the, you know, we perform at least twice a year. We're, you know, out at the farmer's market sometimes tabling, so people can come by and check us out. And I think the really fun part that we get to do sometimes is just partnering with other performance artists. One of our community members, one of our artist council, actually is also an actor and a singer. As we mentioned, working with musicians. So it's those collaborations too with other performance artists, and then just being a space where people can come in and visit us. We also try to, being a part of the downtown community, we want to try to be better about participating in the first Fridays when everybody can come out and explore. So at the very least, we do often have classes on Fridays. And so people can kind of, we usually invite people to come and walk in and just like watch a class for a minute. And then they can go, you know, go on their merry way too.
And get to see some live art.
Yes, really. Exactly.
That's in really process. Great. I love it.
Yep.
It is fun to watch the sausage being made sometimes.
Yes, live exactly.
Art. It can be messy, but also very fun.
Yeah. And, you know, it's beautiful to get to watch the polished performance, something that people dedicated so many hours of their lives to do. And it's pretty amazing to see all that goes into, all the love and investment and care that goes into making that product. Yeah.
I think so too. You offer rentals. You've mentioned that before.
Yes.
It seems like you've opened that up to anyone that needs a space, or is it specific businesses and organizations that...
It is anyone, as long as they don't mind our funky floor situation. We oftentimes say that to preserve the Marley floor, which is a very unique but persnickety type of flooring for a lot of our different dance techniques, we often ask people to either not wear shoes or to help clean the floor afterward. But yeah, otherwise it's open to just about anyone because of insurance reasons. Like if you're a business, you have to have your own certificate of insurance, which is a limiting factor for a lot of groups that we're trying to work with. But we've had other dance groups come and use the space. We've had just individuals come and use it for rehearsal. We've had Sanctuary come here and
what
use
is
the
that?
Space. They are a community singing group.
Oh.
Very, in some ways, philosophically, very similar to us. They are a singing group, and you can just come no matter what type of singer you are. You don't have to be a professional, and they just sing songs together. It's usually one Saturday a month. And there's a couple that come over from Charlottesville who I think do it weekly in Charlottesville, and they do it monthly here. And, you know, they usually sing outside when the weather's good, but come wintertime, they're looking for indoor spaces. And so they did it here one time, which was really fun.
I wonder if they're related at all or connected at all to the Harmonia Sacra Society. They do.
I don't know.
Sings. I'm curious
also
now.
Also in town?
Around in the Harrisonburg, Rockingham area.
Okay.
It's beautiful. I had them on as a podcast guest.
Oh, awesome.
And they actually did a sampling of what they do.
Oh, that's the
And it
the
was
best.
Amazing.
Yes, yes.
They were one of our first video version.
Oh, cool.
Of this podcast that we posted. So I'm curious. Now I'm going to have to ask my friends over there if they know this other group. That's, we're doing some amazing things here in Harrisonburg, Rockingham area.
I agree.
And we're branching out and trying new things.
Yeah. And it's such a reminder that art is really beautiful to do in community with others. Mm-hmm. It actually reminds me when we were in the pandemic and just trying to survive, we went virtual and we had classes virtual. And so much of dance can feel so personal, and you're just like in your own mind working on your technique in relationship to your body, being like, we can get through this, or this is really fun.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's just a very individual thing. But I tell you what, when I first started doing classes here and there virtually, where I was just dancing, you know, alone in my living room, I was like, wow, I miss being around other moving art and bodies.
Yeah, it's wonderful we can provide art virtually, but there is a difference when it is live. Comedians felt that too. There was a lot of virtual comedy shows,
yep,
and that was the outlet available. And we still have that now. It's nice to be able to have another outlet.
Yes.
But it is a different feeling altogether.
Yeah.
You know.
We really learned that we are humans seeking each other.
And needing connection. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Yeah, I agree. There's got to be some challenges here in running a nonprofit.
Certainly. How could there not be?
Anything worthwhile comes with challenges. What are some of the biggest challenges for the Artists Council and your organization to do what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, not to just bring up the drudgery or be preaching to the choir, I think everyone can lightly guess, but certainly just the cost of running the thing, wanting to keep our doors open and keep our doors open in a really unique location is, you know, isn't cheap. But also we want to, and this is such a trouble, we do this because we love it, mm-hmm. but also we want to validate art and art being a skill. And so we want to be able to pay our teachers and pay mm-hmm. them well. And it turns out it takes a lot of money to do all the above. and, you know, to add to that, yeah. One way that we make that possible is we continue to be, none of us who run this organization are paid staff. Mm-hmm. And we keep it that way so we can actually pay our teachers and so we can pay rent and get the good floors. I mean, also, we've had some pretty amazing grant opportunities that have come up that made that possible.
That's good.
Yeah, but it's the balance of there's so much possibility in what we could do, but there's limited funds and limited time in the capacity that we can have to run the space. So we do the best we can. But that's, like most nonprofits, that's the challenge.
That's a big need.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see that you have a donate button on your website.
We sure do.
I'm mm-hmm. sure you're welcome to have as many donors as possible.
We love that.
So maybe an appeal to people who maybe have a interest or background in the
yeah.
dance who might want to donate to you. How would they do that?
Yeah, you can just hit that donate button. If you want, you can become a regular monthly donor. If you just want to say like, hey, you know what? I was going to get that coffee today, but now I just love to contribute that to the dance co-op. Anyone can contribute any amount they want to. I will also say that because we are all dancers, we don't come from a background of running arts organizations. We just all came from backgrounds of being performers first. Mm-hmm. So if you do have any listeners who have experience in running nonprofits or running art nonprofits and just want to share your words of wisdom, that is always welcome. We're 10 years in and we still feel like we're babies trying to make something happen. So
I can appreciate that.
Yes.
I feel that way a lot myself.
Yes. Yeah. As per usual for any community group, any amount helps.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is a great need too. If you have experience or expertise that you can share.
Yeah.
With this organization, that's also helpful.
Exactly.
And of great value as the money is.
Yes, it's true.
Yeah. Well, I hope someone comes out after seeing this.
Me too. It would also just be really fun to connect. I'm so glad to be here and also to know that, yeah, that other people care about this and care about this thing that you've created.
Yeah.
Who knows the potential?
I know. I think there's ways we can all connect in these platforms also in that specific way. So I hope something comes of that. And if it does, you need to let me know.
I will, for sure. Okay. Absolutely.
And now looking ahead into the future, you've come a long way, I would say, in 10 years. Bravo to all of you.
Thank you.
Kudos. What are some of your future goals in the next year or three?
Goodness. Well, we actually, in the last couple of years, just started to get better about setting those goals out a little further, because there's a while where we're just like, we just got to keep on dancing.
I'm in that same mode. You know, yes. Now I'm starting to work ahead a lot more. It's a transition.
One of the things is, well, a beautiful thing is that we have similar dance communities in our general neck of the woods, there's Core Dance in Allegheny County. There is Cumulus Dance, which is a very similar group. We actually talked with them when they were just starting to get set up in Charlottesville.
Okay.
And I think we also just like, not only do we want to build a stronger network of dancers locally in our town, but also just in the region. And so mm-hmm. sometimes with our performances, we try to have guest artists come and either set a piece, choreograph a piece on us or perform their own works. We dream, this is probably 5+ years out,
but I like how you're like,
if I'm going to be honest, we hope to someday have a dance festival in this community.
That would be neat. Yeah.
One thing I've thought of, have you ever been to the International Festival?
I have not. And I've lived here long enough that I should have gone a few times, to be honest with
you.
So
it's coming up in September. So here's your reminder.
Here's my opportunity. Yeah. All right.
But there is amazing dance at that every year.
Okay.
But for most of Harrisonburg, that's your one chance to see it. It's mm-hmm. like, oh man, what if we had a dance festival where you could see literally every single type of dance that people do here? Mm-hmm. And another opportunity to showcase it and celebrate it. So that's always been in the vision too. We would love to take our show also shows outside of Harrisonburg, mm-hmm. And maybe do a little tour someday. And we always just have other ideas for how we'd love to just grow more dance offerings in this space. Mm-hmm. So we want to offer more classes. We'd love to offer morning classes and more weekend classes. Because, turns out not everybody has evening availability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that when most of the classes are offered, is in the evening?
Yes.
Is that Monday through Friday?
Monday through Friday, generally during the school year. We found in the summertime that a lot of people are taking trips on the weekends, so we usually mm-hmm. don't have Friday classes in the summertime.
I got you.
But actually, this summer is the most classes we've ever offered, and it's gone really well, so that's been great.
Yeah.
And we also just started offering weekend classes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that will carry through
the school year.
Through yep. this year. Mm-hmm. That's great. And you have a calendar on the website I saw. So if people want to kind of get a look.
Yes.
On what's available.
Yep. People can, we usually set the dance classes and offerings per season. So about 3 months at a time.
Okay.
Yeah. So usually you can see what classes are available for that 3 month stretch. We actually just set the fall schedule up. On our website. And so people can sign up to take a class next week. They could also sign up to take a class in November.
I got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Now for someone who's, maybe it's been several years since they've done dance or they've never done it.
Yeah.
But they would like to try. What would you encourage them to do to take their first step?
Yes. We just say, come on down. We'd love to meet you. Mm-hmm. And they can really just, the best option is just to sign up for one of our beginner level classes. Mm. I think a lot of people think, oh man, if that didn't work for me or that felt uncomfortable, I guess that's just it. And we encourage people to try something else. There's a bunch of different types of dance techniques mm-hmm. that are offered. And then there really is variation in the levels of the classes that we offer too. So for instance, we have a beginner ballet class, but then we have absolute beginner. Mm-hmm. And that is for people who either have never taken a dance class before. So there's you need to help them work on a relationship of just the mind
and body connection. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or for someone who hasn't danced in 20 years and might not even remember the name of steps, because in ballet everything has a name.
Mm-hmm.
We encourage them to come to that one, and then they can stay in that class as long as they like. Mm-hmm. And if they're like, I kind of got my things, I'm ready to move on, then they can go to the next level and explore.
I'd like to talk about the breakdown of the number of classes for beginners. Is it a intro one class, then you decide if you want to keep going, or are you buying a package of beginner classes? How is that set up here?
Yeah, it is drop-in. Mm-hmm. So people can just, they can pay for a whole series of classes if they want to, or they can just pay one at a time. Mm-hmm. But it isn't restricted to a series offering. So it isn't restricted to a technique.
I'm glad we're talking about this. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Yes. We do. I'd say that we still want to encourage people to, try sticking to something, because you can really see your progress when you stick with a particular technique, or you stick with a teacher who's, you know, teaching the same combination each week or has a plan for how they're going to progress. Mm-hmm. But also we understand that's just not how people's lives work these days. So you can basically just get class packages and sign up for whichever class in that you like.
Okay, so that's how it works. Mm-hmm. You purchase a number, and then of times you would come, and then you select specific times and specific dance classes you would like to take.
Exactly.
I see. Oh, that's a... How did you set that system up?
Through the help of Acuity and Square. And that was all. That was another big, like, just sort of logistical step this year.
Yeah,
is we totally revamped our website and made it so people can sign up for classes online, because I think that's just the trend that the world is moving in.
Mm. Acuity. What's Acuity? What kind of platform is that?
It's used for a lot of dance studios and fitness places. It allows you to post your classes on a calendar, and people can sign up and register and pay for them.
Okay.
Right there.
It's, so it's a company.
Yes. And it's a program software that we use.
That you're purchasing.
Correct.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
not
actually
the
helpful.
Funnest part of running
one of
a dance organization.
Yes.
We have learned on our feet quite a bit. And once again, we are all dancers and performers. We are not web people.
I feel the same way, you know. Oftentimes run into a technical challenge. Did I mention I was a comedian?
Yes, yes. At least we can laugh our way through it or dance it out when we're feeling frustrated.
Get new material all the time.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
It's crazy. Well, how else can people participate and support HDC and your mission and what they're doing? Participation in classes, donating.
Yes, coming to our shows. Mm-hmm. Telling other people about it, and it feels funny to ask people to be an evangelist for dance, you know.
Yeah.
But really, I think for the arts in this community, it's the same in so many places. The arts is often an underfunded community, and the more you can show up for it, you actually get a lot out of it, of course. And we are able to continue doing what we're doing. So I think if you know of anyone who used to be a dancer or has talked about always wanting to try it, encourage them to come give it a shot. If you know a performance artist who's always done theater or something else, tell them that there's this place here, and if they want, they can refine their dance skills. I think we still are at a place, I mean, it's so different now that we have our own brick and mortar space, but we know that there's still a lot of dancers out there that want to have a home. And so we're still trying to reach them.
I love it. Yeah, I think it's wonderful to try new things and branch out. It helps your own personal growth, I feel, when you try something new.
Yep, exactly.
And you don't have to stick to it forever. If you find out you don't like it, you can try something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Well, now, how best can the Laughers keep up with the Harrisonburg Dance Cooperative on social media or otherwise as we wrap up here?
Yes. So we are on Facebook and Instagram. On Facebook, you can just find us by searching for Harrisonburg Dance Cooperative. If you want to find us on Instagram, our handle is HBergDanceCOOP.
That's great. And Laughers, we'll be sure to put that information for you in the show notes as well. So if you're working out or driving, don't worry about it. When you are able to take a look and jot it down and click the links, it'll be right there for you. And thank you for joining us today, Laura. This has been so fun hearing what you had to share about all things the Harrisonburg Dance Cooperative. I had a really good time with you today. It was such a pleasure. So thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you. It was so much fun and such a joy.
Yeah, thank you. It's so exciting, Laughers. And again, to get more information on all they have to offer, be sure to visit their website. That's HBergDance.com. COOP.org, HBerg Dance, COOP.org. Also, laughers, thank you for tuning in today. We love sharing this content with you to help you get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience. So if you enjoyed it too, please give it a like, share, tell a friend also, and follow and subscribe. It is available anywhere you listen to podcasts and now also housed on YouTube on the Funny Womax channel. So you can help us grow and support us by liking that channel and listening to this podcast and again sharing it with a friend. And also don't forget that discount on Prepopsterous using promo code LAUGH15, where you can save 15% on absurdly flavorful gourmet popcorn. You can visit prepopsterous.com today. That's PrePopsterous.com and order some. That way you can join me on next week's episode while you are munching on it. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us today, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Thank you so much. Hope you get a chance to dance this week.
Me too.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by the Funny Womax and Friends. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to a FWAF show or let us bring one to you. To find out more, head to thefunnywomax.com. Be sure to share this podcast with a friend, and until next time, cheers.